Hi, everyone. Welcome into the DreamShake.com. This is Tom Martin. We're talking Rockets basketball, and today we talk Omer Asik. All things Omer, the Rockets are apparently going to offer him an offer sheet this afternoon, and we bring in from SB Nation's Chicago Bulls blog. It's bloggable.com. Check it out. Great stuff all the time there. We have Matt on the phone. Matt, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Tom. Doing well.
Thanks for coming on. You know, my first question real quick is please explain to me the feeling of having Derrick Rose as just the best safety blanket star player, because we're starving for someone like that in Houston. What's that like?
It is pretty cool, I got to admit. All the consternation has gone on this offseason and the past one in terms of, you know, getting over the hump to a championship team from a contender. I mean, that part of that's really aggravating, but sometimes you have to step back and say, you know, at least we have Derrick Rose, at least we have that star player. In the era before his arrival, the Baby Bulls era with, you know, Heinrich and Gordon and Dang, all solid players, had a decent season, got to 49 wins, but, you know, you knew you didn't have a superstar, so it was tough to really get invested in your team as a championship contender. So, like you said, it's a security blanket. Having Derrick Rose makes everything else easier. The hardest part in the league is getting that guy. It's also hard to build around him, as we've seen with the Bulls, but at least when he recovers from injury, of course, which is expected, if kind of upsetting that's going to take probably the whole season to get to full strength. It's nice to know that it's still there, as opposed to, as you're, I'm sure, alluding to, the Rockets' pursuit of that one star in the first place.
Man, I'll tell you, it's been ridiculous, because you try and get used to players they bring in, and all of a sudden, you know, 3 weeks later, bye-bye, we'll see you later, they're traded somewhere else. And that's funny you bring that up, because I think when Yao Ming was here, and T-Mac even, there was always another worry. And it's a different kind of worry. It's okay, there's not enough talent around them, or they're always getting injured. And now we're back at the point, as Rockets fans, we're just trying to get back there. We would love to have those problems again. So that's interesting. But let's talk Omer Asik. The Rockets, like I said, going to make an offer to him this afternoon. Do you think in hindsight the Bulls wish they did? And I'm not sure how close this was to happening. There were rumors that Courtney Lee for Omer Asik was in the works. Do you think in hindsight the Bulls wish they did that deal?
I'm not quite sure, because that mindset at the time, especially last training deadline, I don't know if it was as hot and heavy then, but I mean, they were in theory going for a title that season, and Omer Asik was a huge part of that, right? So maybe in terms of long-term asset management, it'd be better, considering they weren't, that this was likely going to happen, that he was going to get signed away. Maybe they felt, you know, we're going for a title. If we lose them, so be it. We feel like we have, with if Rip Hamilton was coming back and, you know, all the other injuries to Derrick Rose, those were factors. But maybe they were figuring, you know, if everyone gets healthy, we have a chance and we'll need Omer, especially against Miami, because that's where the Bulls had their advantage, right? Having Omer off the bench, having Taj Gibson off the bench, having a huge front line with Noah and Boozer as well.
Yeah.
That was like their strength against Miami in terms of rebounding and inside scoring. Giving that up for a possible upgrade in Courtney Lee, but remember at the time they were kind of hoping that Rip Hamilton wasn't, you know, decrepit. Turned out he was, and pretty much useless all season, but when they signed him to $5 million for two seasons, he was kind of that answer. So once they signed Hamilton, it kind of became where the Lee trade wasn't as desirable. Now, if they did it before, like maybe way before they signed Hamilton, that would have made more sense in the offseason. And I think it's possible they probably look at it now, especially seeing what Daryl Morey did with the Gilbert Arenas rule and sort of making that poison pill even worse than they anticipated. Maybe they probably regretted it, but I also think there was a win-now type factor of the team, and Asik was a huge part of it, so it would have been tough to give him up.
What makes him so important? I don't think many people know his game outside the hardcore basketball junkies. What is he so good at that he was worth keeping around?
Yeah, I mean, part of the factor is that the Bulls as a team lead by their defense and their rebounding and offensive rebounding. That's how they get a lot of their points. So while Omer was a bench player behind Joakim Noah, it was hugely important to have, you know, little to no drop-off between their starters and their bench, and their bench unit was also a huge part of their success. So when Omer would come into the game for Noah, pretty much nothing would be lost in terms of help defense. He's standing and hedging against the pick and roll. He's not as athletic as like Joakim Noah and going out on the wing to actually switch on guys, but he can definitely hedge out and protect the rim. He has huge size and one of the better post defenders against the bigger centers like Dwight Howard, and that was a part where, you know, Noah kind of lacked and she could help out. Also a very good rebounder, a good team player on offense. He sets great screens and he, you know, seems to know where to be. And when he actually catches the ball, he finishes fairly strong. But obviously offensively he had deficiencies, and I don't know if that'll ever get great, but in terms of his defensive effect on the game, it was pretty huge. And the Bulls are a defensive team, and part of what, you know, Tom Thibodeau does is they're very aggressive and going at the pick and roll, and having big men who can do that, it's huge for either the starters or the bench. And the Bulls had two great defenders in Noah and Ashik, so it might be a bit of a luxury to keep a guy like that at that price for the Bulls, but it was certainly nice to have him.
Well, I know that Ashik has really built a big reputation as a great interior defender, great rebounder. I mean, 5 rebounds a game, and that's in almost 15 minutes. To translate that to 30 minutes, we're talking double digits, which is, that's just, you know, great, especially getting him in the second round of the draft. So I think he's panned out for where you got him. How much do you think, you know, if he were to change teams, because he has this reputation as a great defender, how much do you think his offense and defensive ability would change leaving Thibodeau's system and going somewhere like Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure system is a part of it, and the Bulls actually have, you know, they have some solid perimeter defenders as well that help the big men as much as he would help the perimeter guys. But a lot of that stuff is just he's great fundamentally, and he's just talented. I mean, he has a knack for going straight up when trying to block guys, and that may seem like a simple thing, but it's huge to not have what a lot of bigs do is they bring their arms down, they're not thinking, they fall for pump fakes more often, but he's very good at staying straight up and guarding the rim, and that's kind of the thing I think that would translate to whatever system. Now, does he automatically improve a team defense where a system might be lacking? I don't know if he could, like, transcend it, but if you have a system in place, he's a great guy to put in there, and he automatically makes everyone else better by the way he can protect the rim. So, I mean, he's 26, which means he could probably improve slightly, but not a ton. But I think where he is now is pretty good. You know, what you said about them getting him for a second-round pick, they obviously got him for huge value. And I think one thing they may have regretted is they didn't sign him to a 3-year deal, because if they signed him to a 3-year deal, they would have had him this year under a cheap contract, and they would have had his bird rights for next season. So the fact that it was a 2-year deal opening up this, maybe they never expected him to be this good, and the fact that he was kind of bit him in the end.
Well, do you think that leaving Thibodeau's system, because I know that system offensively is, I don't want to call it stagnant, but because it should be built around Derrick Rose, and I think, you know, it's heavily dependent on him. Do you think Ashik going somewhere where the post game might be more emphasized, or maybe even less emphasized, how do you think he can improve offensively going to a different team if he does?
Yeah, the Bulls offense is a very imaginative, that's for sure. he certainly helps in that aspect they set a lot of off-ball screens for shooters like Korver and Hamilton, and he's great at that. And where he lacks is when he sets, you know, when he's in a pick-and-roll game and stuff, he's not a pick-and-pop player at all. He can't shoot from distance. He can't shoot from the free-throw line.
Okay.
Actually, like an atrocious free-throw shooter, not just merely bad, talking like 60%, 50% poor. But where he definitely can improve, and this is where it was frustrating for Bulls fans to see, is he'd be, you know, left open after setting that screen and roll to the rim. And he has good instincts. It's just he has trouble, you know, literally catching the ball and holding on to it. So he'd know where to go. He'd find himself diving to the rim. But, you know, he'd either fumble the pass, or when he'd get the pass, he'd bring the ball down and let it get stripped. And I don't know I'm sure that can be improved through teaching and coaching. Having a big man coach like Kevin McHale, I'm sure, will help. I don't know how much exactly you can do about it in terms of catching the ball. That seems to be something that either a player has or doesn't. But, I mean, he definitely has the instincts to be a player. I don't know if he'll ever develop a post game. You see it once in a while where he would do a quick spin hook, but honestly, he's more just gets his points off offensive rebounds. And if he can get a little bit better off those, like, dive cuts to the basket, it would be a huge improvement, because you're really just looking at it's gravy on the offensive end in terms of what, you know, he can provide defensively.
I saw that the Bulls signed somebody who is the recipient of one of my favorite NBA nicknames, Vladimir Space Cadet Radmanovich. What bearing does that have on their decision to bring back Ashik? I could guess by some of your tweets and by just common knowledge that anything with Vladimir Radmanovic should not impact anything else at all. But does that have any bearing on what happens with the Sheik?
Yeah, I mean, this conversation so far, I think we've kind of been talking like he's gone, right? And that's not official. I would say, like, you know, they're leaning one way or the other. For one, I don't know, but even those who are closer observers to the team, it seems to be switching by the day. I mean, I think the Jeremy Lin, not like the Knicks not matching Jeremy Lin, kind of had an effect on what people think the Bulls might do.
Cause how so?
The Knicks are scared. Well, they figure if the Knicks are scared of paying that poison pill, and they have no problem spending money, why would a team like the Bulls, who have historically shied from spending a ton of money going into the luxury tax, why would they do it? And I think the Bulls are really in a tough spot because they're kind of, they can be called cheap if they don't match, and they can be called stupid if they do match. It's just the way the contract is structured, to where getting a Sheik at $8 million for 3 years is not too bad, but a third year at 15, it becomes kind of untenable for the Bulls, who already have so many big money players and who will never be the kind of team, unfortunately, that spends like the big market they are. So putting that in a player behind their second best player in Joakim Noah, I don't think it's really going to happen. So I don't think the Radmanovic signing really matters. I think they're just looking for, they have roster spots to fill, and they're looking for guys at the minimum. So it's tough to say it has bearing one way or the other. Basically, any dollar they spend on a Sheik in this match will be luxury tax dollars. They're pretty much over at this point. So I don't see – basically, they just have to ask themselves if they want to spend that extra money. The Knicks said they wouldn't, so it kind of makes you think the Bulls definitely won't.
Is he worth the contract that he's been offered?
I think so. For the Rockets, sure, because he's not the caveat about the Bulls being deep in the luxury tax and having a player in front of him like Noah, that doesn't really apply to the Rockets. She could definitely be a starting center. Big men are a commodity. It's only a three-year deal. He's 26. You know he has certain things that won't drop off. I don't think, like, his defensive ability can drop off. I think that seems to be something a definite skill you're paying for. There's cost certainly there. So I think it's a worthwhile deal for the Rockets. I don't get into the idea that you only, you know, spend for superstar players and the Rockets are wasting on role players. I mean, you need rotation guys, and Sheik is a good one. And if you want to build your defense, he's a good building block for it. And I think even at $8 million on a three-year deal, that's a tradable commodity, more so than if the Bulls matched him for $15 million, I think it would be. There's the idea that the Bulls, if they match, you know, they have a $15 million expiring contract, which in theory, you know, is desirable around the league, but these days you're only going to get, you know, bad contracts, and you see more and more now.
Yeah.
Huge expiring deals, like, they don't get return anymore. You're not really going to get the disgruntled superstars for the gigantic expiring contracts. You're most likely going to get just more bad contracts. So I really think the Bulls would put themselves in a bad situation if they matched. They're kind of in a bad situation if they don't match. They're kind of in a no-win situation, and I credit the Rockets for putting them in that. The Bulls said at the outset of the offseason, our top priority is re-signing Omer Sheik, and they knew, I'm sure they knew the cap rules. I don't know if they actually thought that Morey would, like, pull this, make it poisonous to this degree. I think they were genuinely caught off guard, so credit to you guys.
That's what's been the most curious aspect of all this to me, is you know the poison pill provision is there. You know it exists, and this is two teams now that have suddenly found themselves in a pile of you-know-what because, you know, like you said, I think they'd have to prepare for it, but it's interesting to see how this plays out now that it's actually, you know, panning out. I guess my last question you sort of answered, but how effective can a Sheik be as a starter and not someone who's, you know, limited to 15 minutes?
I think he definitely has a capability in terms of talent of being a starter. One thing I haven't mentioned about him that is a drawback to his game is conditioning. It's been a problem since he came into the league where he gets easily winded, and part of it is the way he plays. Not only, does he obviously hustle on defense and hedge out on guys, but he really runs the floor well, too. And he's a really big guy. So there are definitely conditioning issues to where maybe it's not just the starter bench part, but that kind of keeps his minutes down as well. So if he's a starter and he's asked to play, you know, 30 minutes a game now, I think in terms of, you know, talent, he can be that type of player. But that is another question to address, whether he can handle the workload. he has been relatively healthy. He did have an injury in Europe, and I broke his leg in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 seasons ago. It was a slight fracture in his tibia, I believe. But he's been pretty durable. But I think conditioning might be an issue when it comes to being a full time starter. But in terms of ability and the dearth of actual competent big men in the league, I think he's definitely starter material.
I see those gigantic knee pads on him, and I'm just like, oh man, like, are those going to give out at some point? Those things are enormous. But I mean, 66 games last year. I think didn't he play a full season? Is that correct?
Yeah, he did, and the year before as well. Before, again, he got injured in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think it was in game one or two of that Miami series, and the Bulls needed him. His absence was sorely needed. Like I said, even though he was a bench guy, he was important for what the Bulls did, which was they were large and they played defense and they had a great bench. So he was all three of those things, and now it's likely something they won't have coming into this season, and the Bulls will be a worse team for it. There's like the idea that they could replace like any big men's like sort of replaceable outside of the great ones, and maybe they sign a guy like they were rumored to get Nazir Muhammad before he went to the Nets, or even someone like Darko. I mean, they're just not the same. Ashik is a class above those players. He's a solid rotation big man who is a starting center on most teams. So, unfortunately, the Bulls have one of those. I wouldn't say unfortunately. I guess it's fortunate they have Joakim Noah, so it kind of lessens Ashik's value to them. But I think on the Rockets, he'll do quite well.
That is Matt from bloggable.com. Make sure you check it out. Matt, good stuff, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.